Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 2 to 3 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Danon,
Eric,
Natalie.
We are all students at Willits High School. Today our topic is youth and media. Here we are, youth speaking on public radio, being part of the media. We are happy to do this and know that many listeners look forward to our show. And because this is non-commercial radio, we will not take a break every 15 minutes to deliver you to an advertiser. We are able to do this because listeners like you support this broadcast by becoming members of KZYX. So please consider becoming a member if you have not already done so. You can join on the website kzyx.org or by calling 895-2324 during normal business hours. If you make a pledge in the fundraiser drive beginning in 2 weeks, please mention that you appreciate Youth Speaks Out.
Today we will discuss what kind of influence the youth have on the media and what influence the media has on youth. From a marketing perspective, youth are a prime target. Most people think that the purpose of mass media is to entertain or inform, whereas for media owners, the purpose is to turn a profit, usually by selling audiences to advertisers. Statistics show that youth are the most likely to be influenced by consumers. Therefore, television and much of the internet caters to young audiences. Many adults have figured out this relationship between advertising and media from experience. But for some reason, the educational system in the United States tends to not define media literacy until college. By then, the hooks of the advertising agents are deep in the young consumers. This is a benchmark of success in the capitalistic society. Television and radio are most obvious examples of the media creating and captivating audiences that will consume products advertised on them. However, movies often use merchandise tie-ins and product placements to make more money off of the young audience. This is especially true in the past 30 years. Traditionally, television has been supported by advertising and movies were not. When product placement in movies was first suggested, it was considered unethical. If I am being advertised to, I want to know. And if I'm paying for that movie, I should not be subject to advertising. Well, worrying about that ethic was lost decades ago. And then came the toys that tie in to movies that they give as gifts at fast food eateries. Obviously, most of these tie-ins are aimed at getting youth to insist on eating at McDonald's, buying a cuddly toy, or buying a certain kind of cereal.
Television and movies also create images of what youth are supposed to look like and what they do. Youth smoking, drinking, and taking drugs is pretty much off commercial television, but present on cable and in movies. Television does glamorize lifestyles that would be shocking 30 years ago. Current Emmy winners include a series with a noble serial killer and another with a high school chemistry teacher who produces speed. But one series that we will later discuss is called Teen Mom, which glamorizes the life of a teenage mother following the popular movie Juno. Another movie we'll discuss is the Twilight series, which shows that you cannot survive without a partner. Television and movies are only a segment of the media that the youth are involved with. There are also magazines and the internet where we could see that the ideal woman is skinny, airbrushed, and wearing revealing clothing. This image creation is largely responsible for anorexia and bulimia among young women in our society. Canada and the UK have enacted voluntary codes to ban images of anorexic models from their women's magazines. Computers and the web are also an integral part of our lives, along with cell phones and texting. Much of our media has shifted to being delivered via the internet. We get most of our music through downloading, and we use social networking tools like MySpace and Facebook. And we also get our news and research. We research our homework online. It's very common for the youth to be on the internet probably 4 to 5 hours a day. Many young people play games online or with a PlayStation and watch homemade videos through websites like YouTube. MySpace has allowed many young musicians to reach an audience that was impossible when all music distribution was through recording labels and radio. Rap music has also evolved into a media form that is open to innovation and is popular around the world. The internet has allowed young people to influence and create media in a democratic, non-commercial way.
In English classes, we are still reading books on early form of media. Some books are assigned and some we get to choose from a list. Most of these books are over 20 years old. Some are over 100 years old. We know that we are assigned certain books to train us to analyze literature, but some seem less relevant today. It is possible that the advent of the electronic book will alter the media that we now call literature. We will begin the show by talking about how youth influences the media and how the media influences the youth. We will discuss our relationships with the web, television, radio, books, and magazines. Then we will speak about what we learned about media literature. Media literacy could be defined as the ability to interpret the message each form of media is presenting us. Marshall McLuhan said, the medium is the message, meaning that information is altered by the form of the media that delivers it. This was a popular concept in 1960s. We would like to hear how you think it applies to today's new forms of media, specifically the internet, cell phones, and texting. When we open the phone lines in 20 minutes or so, we would like to hear from you about your relationship with the media, living in a rural, relatively remote area. How does media influence your life? How do you influence the media? If you have children, do you make a conscious effort to inform them of the ways in which the media attempts to manipulate them? Eric, what types of media do you use in your daily life?
Typically in your daily life, I won't use a whole lot of it. I'd say mostly I just use a computer, and if you would consider a cell phone a means of media, then I definitely use that, typically not just, in certain hours. Usually a computer, you only use, certain times of the day, typically after school, because, usually certain sites are blocked online, such as social networking sites like Facebook. But yeah, a cell phone you can use all day. You can use it right when you wake up. You can use it, a lot of people will even use it in the classroom, even though you're not supposed to. But as far as advertising types of media and entertainment kinds, I definitely use those every day. It's just, you get bored, when you get home, you can't just, sit there and do nothing. You have to find something to, entertain your head.
Yeah. I've mainly probably used my computer and a source like TV just for MTV, though, for my music way, because I like music and I'm a musician, so that's my kind of form of music, like advertisement that I want to do. I'm going to use MySpace for my media and Facebook and probably YouTube later on.
I usually just use my cell phone just to get a hold of people and definitely use the research on the computer. Like when I need to do something for English classes, I look up a lot of information for the papers I'm trying to write. So
exactly.
I don't use much, actually.
Yeah. I gotta say, I kind of left out music, actually. I do listen to a lot of music, and, not just with my iPod. I use it a lot on my computer, too. I'll go to YouTube, and look up a music video or something like that. But, anyway, a question that I want to ask you guys. I want to know, how do you guys think that the media influences youth, and do you guys think it targets different age groups at all?
I feel how the media would influence the youth for a lot of different reasons is, like, as an example, American Pie, like, funny series that I like to watch, but it shows that getting out of high school and then going to college is just partying. It's no work at all, which is really a misconcept, and it just gets kids to party and do nothing with their life when they're in high school, and then it hurts them in the longer run.
So do you think that that's kind of a play on maturity, that it's almost a false sense of what they you know, try to tell you that when you grow up what you should be like.
Yeah, like, a lot, actually, for sure, because nobody has that easy of a life. It doesn't matter. Like, when you're trying to be an adult, you don't act like a kid to be an adult, and partying like that isn't being an adult. It's just showing you a false way of being an adult.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed in a lot of media is that there's two things that it seems to really focus on when it's advertising things, and those two things are food and you know, sexual things, like what Danan just said about, you know, American Pie. It gives a false interpretation of what I guess college life would be like and what it should be like, and you know, it's kind of a play on what people, you know, take in as I guess pleasure. And also, food goes into that too, because, you know, food is something that makes us all happy. It's something that we need. And with food, you know, you see advertising in food all the time. You see, you know, you look at like the cereal, boxes, you know, they got the prize in the box, you know, it's got all your favorite cartoons on it, the macaroni SpongeBob and all that kind of thing. So I think those two things really, tie in with, how they try to, you know, affect different age groups, you know, or especially with food, you know, it seems to target the younger ones, you know, the younger children. And, you know, they try to use maybe sex and that kind of thing for, I guess, the teenagers in high school. You know, I can't really find, you know, what it is that they're trying to influence, or why they would want to influence that in us. Maybe it's to, you know, I guess it's just kind of what society's been turned into, is just, you know, a sexual thing. You know, what do you think of that? Just that teenagers are, you know, subdued to that.
Well, like, yeah, because if you go on there, any teen show nowadays has something to do with sex. Like, as an example, a really good one, Teen Mom, like we're going to talk about. That's probably the dumbest thing. It just shows that they get pregnant in high school because they're having sex, and then after they're done with their baby, everything's way better and fine, when realistically, it's not at all.
Hmm. Yeah, also, another thing I kind of wanted to bring up was, that kind of relates to that, is the products for a cleaning Axe, body wash and all that. They seem to take a, you know, like, for some of their commercials, they have this one commercial, you know, clean your balls. And it's supposed to be this kind of a comedic thing, you know, where, you know, they bring up these golf balls, and they start washing them with this, you know, shower tool that, Axe is, you know, now produced. And it kind of plays on that, you know, I mean, it's not just to say sexual, but, you know, maybe when you're walking down the aisle, whoa, you know, you see that, you remember the commercial. Oh, I remember the clean your balls commercial, you know? And then they also have the, the other commercial, they played it a lot on the X Games. It was the double pits to chesty commercial that they played a lot. And I think that kind of takes a turn on, you know, what kids will think is really cool, you know, because they'll have a skateboarder or a motocrosser, and he goes over like this, you know, big freestyle motocross jump, and he takes off his shirt, and you see him, like, do this cool, you know, they try to make it like a cool trick, like he sprays the aerosol can of, you know, deodorant all over him, and it's like this, they call it a double pits to chesty, and it's supposed to be like this cool trick, and, you know, that, I think that kind of plays on what kids think is cool, and, you know, it's like, oh, man, I want to be cool like that, so maybe I'll use that kind of deodorant.
Yeah, that stuff just makes me laugh, because if anybody, like, really took that seriously, then it would not make any sense whatsoever, because if he, like, I watched that commercial, the first one, he's doing a backflip, he rips off his shirt, and he sprays it one side, tosses in the air, catches and sprays on the other side, then goes across his chest in, like, a matter of, like, 5 seconds.
Yeah. So, that was a bit about, how the media influences the youth. How do you guys think that the youth, influences the media at all?
The youth influences the media huge, because without us, then there really wouldn't be any media, because we are the future. So if they didn't appeal to us, then they wouldn't sell anything. Especially, like, music. If they just talk about older music, we're not going to buy anything. We're not going to care about it. It doesn't matter. So, like, when we come out with the kind of things we make, like our music or what we're interested in, like TV shows and different things like that, they have to make what we want or they're not going to sell.
Exactly. A point I'd like to make is that I believe that This is kind of a complicated sentence. Bear with me as I say it. The media having an influence on the youth, I believe, has a correlation to the youth's ability to influence the media. So basically, because the media influences the youth, you know, they're trying to follow us, I guess, in a way, and try to influence us. But to influence us, they also have to stay with us in a little, in a certain way. So them influencing us has an ability to correlate with, you know, us influencing them. You know, like Danon was saying, you know, like rap music. And also a big one with that is YouTube, because that's how a lot of people will get discovered. Did Justin Bieber, the new teenage idol, he got discovered on, I believe it was YouTube, right?
Yeah, it was YouTube, because his producer or whatever was like Usher, he knew him, and he put out a video about love or whatever, and little girls started watching it and fell in love with how he sounded and everything, and now he's selling millions of records, has millions of dollars and everything. And he's 16 years old.
Yeah. So as far as rap music goes, do you guys think that has a really big impact? Because that seems to really be where the youth is, you know, most concerned with. That seems to really be the fad now with the youth, is just all the rap music and the music industries going around.
Yeah, it does, because rap's influenced my life completely, because it's my music, it's what I do, and I've been doing it since I was really young, and it's made me change up how I do my kind of music, and it's changed my lifestyle a lot too, because a lot of different things I've done have made, like, rap made it how it was for me.
So you believe that, you know, do you actually make any raps and songs and stuff like that?
Yeah, I have one with me right now.
Do you? So do you believe that by making those, do you believe that influences the media at all in any way to change them? I mean, not just what you do, but, you know, as a whole of what you do and what everyone else who does what you do influences.
What everyone does would influence it. Like, I hope mine influences it, because I would love it. I would love to get famous from this thing and help other people make their own music.
Mm-hmm. So, you say you've brought a rap with you right now. Do you want to share with the audience what you've wrote there?
Yeah, I'll do just a verse and then one thing of the chorus.
All right.
So, rapping's my addiction, call it my drug, because whenever I spit, I get mad love. It's a passionate high and a lovable low, no matter where I am, with me it goes. So I keep flowing, I need to keep it alive, because without rap for me, there's nothing to strive for. So I keep it going like a Honda Accord, because I can't afford for this life to stop. Without rap in my life, I might as well get shot. So I keep spinning for Biggie and for Pac, because without them, no one would experience real hip-hop. They were inspirations, they inspired nations. So here I am, the rapping Caucasian, trying to get it back to the real sensation. For those who get famous from true dedication, give back to the game and those who made this creation. So here I am, help, no hate, and shout out to the love of rapping. We all made it, and they can never take it. As long as we don't fake it, rap will be alive forever, and that's a statement. Rap is inspirational to me, thousands will come up, and thousands will leave. Hundreds have come up, and hundreds have stayed, and thanks to rap, we know them today. And thanks to rap, they get radio play, and thanks to rap, their bills get paid.
Very good.
That's really good.
That was good. So, what I want to say something about that. So did the media influence, you said it influenced you when you were young, right?
Well, yeah. Well, when I was younger, I really had this thing inside of me. Like, I wanted to make music. I just didn't know what I was needing to make. I couldn't sing. Not a singer, could never do it. Wanted to, but I couldn't. And I always had, like, lyrics into me, and I always started writing poems and everything. And then my older sister showed me a song by Eminem. And ever since that, it changed my whole life entirely. It made me just love music and be passionate about it. And then I started, like, my style was hit, like, exactly like his. I copied him until when I was really young. And then when I got older, I started listening to more of, like, Lil Wayne and then some other artists like Jay-Z and Kanye West and then, like, Immortal Techniques and people that were underground. And then I just started changing all the different styles and put it together to make my own. Like, I mean, that wasn't the best I've ever done on one of my songs right there. I was just kind of reading it, but, like, it just has done so much for my life, and I can't wait to record this, like, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday out in San Francisco with a guy named Colin Magalong.
Hmm. So, you know, with you, you know, like you just said, you know, making your recordings, you know, given that if it was fair to say that that would influence the media at all, then I could actually, it would actually be fair to say that media influencing Danon actually helped him have a chance of influencing the media back.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be here without there being a media advertisement. If there wasn't media, Eminem would never came up. I would never have started trying to make music.
So there's good and bad influences from the media.
Every day there is, because you can get something that just hooks you in so inspirational. Like, I really like the song by B.O.B., Airplanes. It's just inspirational. It's talking about, you know, getting there and going back to being simple that you're supposed to be, but you have the chance to be who you want to be. And then there's bad influences, like the song Lollipop from I don't even know how many years ago by Lil Wayne. Like, all it talks about is the whole time is having sex, and it's just like, it's kind of absurd.
So you think that, you know, the media has changed a little bit to be more inspirational for positive things then?
Lately, actually, yeah. After one album got dropped, the Recovery by Eminem, it's a complete inspirational album. B.O.B. had his album that was all inspirational. Kanye West's last album was inspirational music. So is Jay-Z's. A lot of it has just been more inspirational. And there has been a lot of inspirational movies that have come out, too, like The Pursuit of Happiness. That was a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
That inspired, like, millions of people to stop not doing anything and actually strive for something.
So, you know, you actually brought that up with, you know, I guess kind of the emotional thing. So do you think that the media, you know, fairly or not, do you think that it plays on the emotions at all towards the youth?
Well, yeah, it does, because, like, there's a lot of things that you need to act like that they show you. Like, if you watch certain things, there's always the ones where the bad guy, you know, in the thing has his ups, and then, like, he has his whole thing, and if you're, like, that way, then you're cool. Like, there's a TV show, I think it's called The Hard Lives of R.J. Burger or something like that, where he's like, a nerd or whatever, and then there's jocks that pick on him all the time, and they seem so much cooler, but at the end, because he's himself, he still has his own thing, and he's still who he wants to be and happy about it.
Yeah, you know, something I've noticed is, because I noticed that the media kind of plays on the emotions of the youth is, because yeah, it seems like, you know, the youth can be, I guess in a way, weaker hearted. You know, the youth, they're inexperienced with their emotions, and they're trying to, you know, kind of get a hold of them. And when the media starts to come in and play, you know, start playing a role in what we, you know, what we think, you know, while we're developing, you know, it seems to make us, you know, like a lot of kids will, you know, start believing in, like, you know, like true love, love at first sight. Like, that's a really confusing thing for kids. And there's actually, you know, we mentioned it earlier, the movie series and the book series, Twilight. They really play on the idea of obsession, and it confuses the ideas of emotion and obsession. From what it really is. Natalie, do you have anything to say about, you know, those series?
Well, I believe the Twilight series has definitely made an impact on younger girls to make them seem like they need a guy in their life or they will be nothing at all. And that, I think, is one of the bad influences media has on the youth. 'Cause you can be your own person. You are independent. You are born yourself, and you're not born holding hands with someone else. So I think I don't know, they're just
well, like, I take it the plot of, like, Twilight is just, it's a girl that moves to this other place, and then she sees these people that are just supposed to be way too beautiful, you know, that they're just way more good looking than anybody else. And then she falls in love with this guy, and just because he has this opposite thing to him that nobody else has, she can't leave him, and she's over obsessed with him, and she never wants to leave him, and she starts doing dangerous things just to be around him. And it shows a really unhealthy relationship way to build something, because in that she's trying to kill herself just so she could see this guy. It's horrible to think about that, because who would imitate that? People have imitated things like that before.
Yeah, it also shows that, like, it's okay for young girls to stay in an abusive relationship, possibly. That could lead into something problematic in the future as adults, like living together, and they think it's okay to stay with that person when they're being beaten or emotionally abused.
All right, so I'm going to take it back to a quote we used from Marshall McLuhan. He said, "The medium is the message." And, you know, while we were just talking about movies, so by "the medium is the message," he means, you know, by the different ways that the media is delivered to us, it can affect, you know, how you take it differently. So, you know, like what we were just talking about, Twilight, and how it kind of has this idea of obsession with, you know, with, you know, the opposite sex and confusing the emotion with that obsession. If you were to see something like that in a movie theater, do you guys think that it would have any different effect than if you were to just watch a movie like that at home?
I feel that it would, because when you see it that big, it shows a lot more than when you watch it on a TV, because the cinematics and everything are so much more embracive to your mind, and you're just so more receptive. Because when you're at home, you're going to be texting, you know, you're not really going to care like that you're watching the movie the whole time. But in the movie theaters, you're generally going to watch the movie because you actually had to pay to go in. You're sitting there and you're with friends. You don't want to miss out on what they're going to see.
Exactly, yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking, too. Because, yeah, in a movie theater, you got the, you know, that you got this big, giant, huge screen in front of you. And, you know, if you're to try, it's hard to even get distracted from that. You know, it's all that you can really pay attention to. You know, even if you look to the person to your side or look at the entire audience, you know, it's usually you can't exactly just, you know, look over to them and start talking. Usually you'll look over and, you know, their emotions on their faces will be matching what's on the screen. You know, whereas, you know, if you're to watch it at home more typically, you're going to have people paying less attention to it. You know, I'll use even myself as an example. You know, usually when I go, you know, if I go to a movie theater, I'll usually turn my cell phone off or I'll just, you know, completely ignore it. And when I'm at home, you know, sometimes my sister will find a movie and she'll say, "Oh, you want to watch this movie? Yeah, sure, I'd love to watch it." But, you know, when you're at home, there's so much more stuff going on. Usually I'll have my computer running or something. I'll get distracted. You know, I'll remember I got to do, like, dishes or something, you know, some chore or whatever I got to do, you know, because it's right there. Or, you know, typically I'll be, you know, texting the entire time through the movie, and I'll have my sister, you know, saying, "Oh, you don't do that. You got to pay attention to the movie, you know, otherwise you won't get it." And that's, you know, I think that's a really important idea to the medium is the message, because, you know, if it's through a different form of, if you're watching it through a different, you know, format, then you're not going to get the same effect. And, you know, set things like product placement and, you know, when they put things inside the movies, you know, you don't get that kind of effect when you're not paying as much attention, you know. So, you guys have anything to add to that?
Yeah, well, it's the same thing with that is, like, with music, too, because if you hear, like, a bad version of a song, like, say you go on YouTube, some people videotape it from their houses and it sounds really bad and the video quality is horrible, or you go and watch the debut of it, or you go and watch a video, like, watch them do it at a concert, you get so much more embraced at what it is compared to a horrible version of something.
Hmm. Yeah.
Another really big influential thing right now is the clauses on, like, props, like, in the gay marriage prop. That, like, I personally don't have any problem with it, but it shows so much of, like, it shows what they want and all those things, and it slowly is, like, influencing different kids to question if they're straight or not. And, like, it's okay to be how you are, but you don't need to start influencing somebody into a different way of what they might not want to do. And it has a huge thing like that. Like, they were trying to teach it in schools and different things like that. It might change somebody from how they were into something different. And they're entitled their own opinion. If they're going to do things that are like that for adults, then it shouldn't be aired on the TV for where kids could watch it when they can't even do anything about it.
So you think that people would, you know, like, not people, but the kids would end up thinking that there's something that they're not based on something that the media told them?
Because, yeah, when you repetitively see something, it gets engraved in your mind. The more you see it or the more you listen to it, the more you think about it. You've heard a song, something like that, and then you kind of know the words to it, but, like, say you listen to it 3 or 4 times in a row, you know the words, like, on point right after. The same thing with anything. If you listen to it, you watch it, you just get stuck in your head and you know what it is now.
Mm-hmm. So, one thing I want to ask, too, is, Do you guys think that there's any kind of a difference between media and advertising? Because the way I see it, it almost seems like it's almost kind of like a thin line, because media and, you know, advertisement, they try to, you know, kind of advertise with the media. What do you guys think about that?
Well, there is a very thin line between it, because media, a lot of it is advertisement, because watch a music video, watch a TV show, it shows different brands, like say they're drinking like a Coca-Cola or whatever. If it's not like reality TV show, then they're obviously advertising it, because you go on any show, you see somebody with an iPod or something like that on their movie, that's an advertisement for it. You go walk and they're like walking by a mall and you see like a video game or something, they're advertising it there. You watch a music video or something, and their references to their music, they'll get paid to say certain lines with different companies' logos in their thing.
Hmm. So also with books, you know, I don't pay much attention to, you know, a lot of, stuff with Oprah, but apparently a lot of the books that and a lot of the authors that come onto her show end up being very influential in the literature society.
She has a very big pull, actually. She's one of the main people. Like, if you were to try to get famous, you could go to her because she has such a huge word over anything. Like, there's been different artists, different, like, a lot of different book writers that they were nothing before, but they sent a copy out to her, and she liked it. She went there, and they went on the TV show, and they've New York Times Awards and all these different things just because they went on her show, and Oprah said it was a good book, and people listened to Oprah spiritually. Mm-hmm.
So isn't there some kind of a... She put some kind of a sticker or a signature on it. I don't pay much attention, so I'm not quite sure, but, you know, don't they put those, like, on the books or something?
Yeah.
And then they can see, like, that's, you know, like, what's, I guess, influential, and people get, you know, they get affected by that. They see that, and they say, oh, I want to buy that. Is that how it works, kind of?
Yeah, well, I don't know much about her either, but, like, yeah, they just, there's a thing on it. Like, I've got a book where I bought it. It says, like, bestsellers award or whatever, so it's showing that the book's more important than other books, basically, I would guess.
That would, you know, therefore make it more influential by that manner. So, you know, another thing that also kind of goes by that way, I think, is breast cancer, because, and that kind of thing, like, you know, there'll be a sticker for it on certain things, you know, that says, this funds for breast cancer. And I think that that's almost a play, you know, kind of a sexual ploy that that they use for that, like the Cancer Society, or I forget who it is who's in charge of that. But, you know, you'll see that on there, but you know, if it was something for, like, skin cancer, you know, like... You know, I hate to say, you know, anything like that would be sexist, but, you know, I don't think that people would really, you know, pay as much attention to it. I think a lot of people pay more attention to it because, you know, guy will be like, oh, yeah, you know, save the tatas, you know, as the famous bumper sticker says, you know. What do you guys think about that?
I feel the same way, because you'll see people, they have, like, the I Heart boobies, like, wrists or
wrist
shirts
bands.
Or whatever. But if it was, like, I Heart Skin Cancer, that nobody would buy that. That'd sound awkward. Be like, I Heart Skin, it's just weird. But, like, the second they play the whole woman sexuality into it, a lot more people pay attention to it, because it is, like, in a lot of people's minds, it's very important.
Hmm. So another thing is with texting, what is the message of the medium with texting and, you know, like, you know, with emoticons and all that?
Well, like, texting's such an easier way, like, of media forms, too, because you can buy, like, it shows advertisements for it on TV where you can, like, get this ringtone for your phone or get these different things you can communicate in different ways, but, like, the emotions on it, like, it's so bland, there's nothing really to it, but, like, you put a smiley face after, it changes the message, or, like, you put LOL and all these other things, it just mm-hmm. cuts off the communication, and, like, when they advertise it, yeah, it's nice, you know, you can get a hold of your friends easier, but when you think about it, all they advertise is a different way to do it, like, every phone does the exact same thing, they just look different, and they have a little extra feature sometimes. Which, it's just all it is they're just trying to sell you something that you actually don't need.
Yeah, I mean, they said, you know, I've seen studies and heard about studies that they've done about communication between people. And, it, you know, it said that, you know, I forget what it was, 80% or something like that of communication isn't actually based on what you say or what you would, you know, say through a text message. It's mostly based on your body language, your facial expressions, your tone of voice, and that sort of thing. So... I find it interesting that emoticons try to, imitate those emotions because they can't actually be said through those words, you know. It's not like, you know, another thing is, the whole thing of saying LOL. You know, how many times when you're texting and you say LOL, which stands for laughing out loud, how many times are you actually, you know, laughing?
Like 1% of the time, maybe, because nothing's really that funny when you hear it over texting. There's no emotion to it when it's delivered. There's no really big punch to it. Now, like, if you were to say something rude over it, though, it's a little more devastating of a thing because you don't, like, aren't able to react right to it at the time, mm-hmm. and you can't tell if somebody was kidding or not because there's no emotion to the words. They could put a smiley face after, but they could use the smiley face as just being vindictive.
Yeah, it could be just totally, like, sarcastic, and it's very hard to, you know, tell unless you, you know the person very well, or if you've been texting them a lot and you know what kind of things that they say when they're sarcastic. So you have anything to say about texting, Natalie?
Well, when I'm texting, I usually just think, like, you know, okay, we're having a conversation. But when there's an incoming message and you read the message, you don't really get their tone of voice. Like, I picture it as just completely monotone. And then you don't really get the actual sense of what they're saying. And if they don't put periods or something, you can totally take it the wrong way. So you can misinterpret what they're actually saying.
I know what you mean, because I don't put periods after any of my text messages, and people have gotten mad because they thought I meant one thing when I was totally meaning a different thing.
Yeah, so, all right, while we're on the subject of phones, we're actually going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, all listeners. Please call if you have any ideas about the media concerning the youth. Is the advent of the internet a good thing for our young people? If you think so, what are the advantages over the times when it didn't exist? If you don't think so, what is negative about the so-called information highway? If you're a parent, do you monitor the quantity and the quality of what your children look at on their computers? If you live without television, could you explain why you do or why you don't? Do you think that our public radio stations serve the young people in our community well? And how did you become media literate? Should there possibly be classes in high school to teach the youth about seeing the lines between the advertising and the straight media? Please call the number 456, that is 456-9991, and tell us your ideas and opinions. They are very important to us. How does the media influence your life? As we said, Marshall McLuhan said, the medium is the message, meaning that information is altered by the form of the media that delivers it. This is definitely a popular concept in the 1960s, and we would really like to hear how you guys think that it applies to today's new forms of media, specifically the internet, cell phones, and the texting. So please call in and be part of this conversation. Our goal is to involve the community in a dialogue that we can all learn from. So do you have do you wish that the internet had been around when you were in high school? Have you found ways to become part of the media by posting things on the internet? What do you guys think that the state of the media will be in 5 years or possibly even 10 years? The phone number, again, is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio, or we'll probably get a confusing echo between the radio and your phone. Once again, the number is 456-9991. Please call and be part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you.
So what are other influences in the media that you would take as, like, what do you think other things have influenced you, like, as in clothing and different things like that?
Clothing. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I hadn't really thought about that. Well, you know, actually, I'll see a lot of, you know, music t-shirts or something like that. And, you know, obviously a lot of music artists will have a certain type of I guess, emotional ploy that they're trying to have. Like, you know, there's emotional kinds of music, you know, that try to, like, make you feel happy or make you feel sad. But then you have, like, you know, the hard metal. So, you know, I think some kinds of clothing, you know, kind of almost will influence people to feel that they need, you know, to be angry or whatever, maybe. I mean, I guess I don't really know how clothing would influence. Oh, actually, also, there's You know, like we said earlier, with you know, the anorexia and bulimia, clothing is really influential there, because you see, you know, on the media a lot, you'll see women wearing very revealing clothing, you know, and that's kind of a thing for women. They think, oh, I need to you know, wear revealing clothing for myself to get noticed. So once again, callers, the number is 456-9991.
Another one, like, for clothing, too, is because, like, I know you race motorcycles and everything, and, like, right now nobody can see you, but you're, like, wearing a Fox hat and different things, and those are motorcycle brands. And, I mean, I used to skate a bunch, and that's how I got my style. I wear skinny jeans and stuff like that. Like, I didn't think at the time that I was being influenced by anything, but I was, because originally I used to wear really baggy clothes, but then I started skating, and it showed that skinny jeans, you know, were easier skating, so that's why I started wearing them.
So you feel that clothing almost influences kind of who you are and kind of says who you are in a way?
Yeah, a lot of ways, because, like, I've known things. Like, people, I used to have extremely long hair, and I used to wear, like, the skater thing and everything. So people used to think I was a bad kid, did, like, drugs or something like that, when I've never even touched one in my life.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. You guys are having a great show. I'm really enjoying listening to it. This is such a huge issue. I think that you could probably do at least 4 weeks on this one topic, because I believe that media is extremely powerful, and it influences us from a very, very young age. I don't even know where to begin, but two thoughts I have. One is on advertising. I actually went to a school that had to do with commercial art and advertising, and they talk about how they actually have like a panel of people who discuss for commercials how to get people to buy stuff. And they want to get you from, like, a very young age. It's called product loyalty. So they really do. You know, you guys talked about how, you know, with cereal boxes or, you know, you name it, clothing or anything. They try to get kids from a very young age to say, oh, I like that brand, you know. You start off like a five-year-old loving, you know, Fruity Pebbles or whatever, and you end up as a 50-year-old someday. And I remember when I ate Fruity Pebbles. Hey, I want to buy those again for my grandkids. You know, so you end up a whole lifetime of a person who is loyal to this one product if they can, you know, zero in on you. Mm-hmm. So I think that's very true, and it's very powerful what they're trying to do and manipulate all of us with advertising. And then one more thing. Is the responsibility of the media. I get so angry when I see different things that are put out for very young children that are trying to almost, I don't know, it's as if what they're trying to purposely make you believe a certain way or have, you know, change your values you know, starting with really young kids. I don't even know where to begin, but it's just parents have got to have the responsibility of not setting their children down in front of a television or a movie. You know, if they're too young and they don't even know who they are yet, that movie and can affect how they live their life, like you talked about Twilight. It really can affect how they have relationships. And I think there has to be responsibility of the media to say, hey, you know, we care about the society. We care about the future of our people. Why do we make a show like Degrassi? Or why do we make, you know, why is Disney Channel all about certain things, you know, about kids and relationships and stuff? So I think the media's got to take responsibility, and parents definitely do, and older siblings, to get little kids especially away from the TV so that you can figure out who you are before you are influenced by all this. What do you guys think about that?
I would agree with that, because I didn't watch a lot of movies when I was younger, but I was myself, so I influenced myself a lot until I was older to be influenced with other things.
Yeah, I used to watch a lot of Nickelodeon and SpongeBob and what was the show? It was about all the little kids. They did all the extreme sports. Rocket Power, that's what it was called.
Oh, yeah.
I used to love that show. But, you know, the thing was with watching the Nickelodeon channel was, you know, every commercial break, they would have, like, the same commercials about, like, the Polly Pocket or about the different cereal. And they would, you know, they'd have, like, all the different cartoon characters, like, from Fruity Pebbles, they'd have the Flintstones. And they'd be dancing around, you know, or whatever, making it seem all happy. And then with Trix, you know, there was all kinds of commercials about Trix and the rabbit. And he's always trying to get the yogurt or the cereal. And that definitely, I think had some kind of influence on me, you know, because I remember, you know, especially with the toys, you know, not as much with the food, but with the toys, you know, I'd see like the toys on there and I'd be like, oh, wow. You know, like I'd see like the Legos and they'd be put together and they'd be all flying around, you know, and putting the bricks together. And I used to think that was just the coolest thing in the world.
What do you guys think about, like, have you ever been to a movie theater where you're watching a movie, not an R-rated one necessarily, but like PG-13 even, and people have brought their like 5-year-olds and they're in the movie theater and they're like playing around, maybe not getting the movie. Do you think parents should be bringing their young children to some of these movies that have, you know, images and more adult subject matter and so forth? Do you think it affects the little ones?
Definitely. I see these young parents bringing in their children of about 4 or 5 to probably a horror movie or a really sexual movie, and that's what they're going to be growing up seeing, and it's crazy. They think that's okay, and it's not, because that's what they're going to be wanting to watch more and more and more every day.
Yeah, another thing I noticed too is when I you know, I never watched really really terrible movies when I was younger, but you know, I'd noticed certain things now when I watch movies that I haven't seen in a while that I'd seen when I was younger. I'll notice like certain jokes that I didn't pick up, you know. And I think that would kind of also happen with those kids too. You know, I mean, obviously some things would get through. Like, you know, if it's a sexual scene, then that would probably be an image that sticks in their head. But some of the jokes, you know, like that would be more of like mature humor. You know, little kids aren't going to be able to necessarily understand all of those. So it's not, I think, as bad. But, you know, definitely it's still a thing that is totally immoral, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you talked about, you know, the impact of a large screen and how, you know, different it is to watch it in the theater than at home.
Exactly.
It's a huge image, you know, that's coming out. And I think that people don't realize the impact that it has on young people. But thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Yeah, I like how she mentioned the movie screen with the younger children, you know, because, I mean, obviously it affects the teenagers, but, you know, when they're little or, you know, they can't really, you know, notice, you know, what they're being subjected to. You know, also another thing with, we kind of discussed it briefly, Teen Mom and the idea of, you know, pregnancy when, you know, when you're a teenager and how that life is all so glamorized, you know. I mean, I've never seen the show myself, but, you know, I hear people talking about it, and, you know, it supposedly just makes, you know, like these, you know, teenage girls, and they have babies, you know, and they make it seem like, you know, it's almost fun, but, you know, it makes girls not realize what a big responsibility it is.
It really, too, because if you get pregnant at that time, like it shows, like, on the TV show, she's pregnant now, but guess what? She has a TV show and she's on it.
Mm-hmm. Makes them seem like they're, you know, obviously if they have their own TV show, then they must have done
something,
you know,
right. They
must have done something right. And
makes them cool, or it makes them more important than the other people who don't have kids when they're 13, 16.
Yeah. You actually take TV shows that people could actually use for something important to glamorize somebody who doesn't deserve to be there.
Once again, listeners, please, we would love for you to call in. This is a listener-based show as well. Please call the number 456-9991. That's 456-9991. So, you know, back what we were talking about with that whole thing with Teen Mom, you know, there's also a movie that came out recently that had to do with that kind of same thing. I think it was Juno, right?
Yeah.
I hadn't seen the actual movie. Had you guys seen it?
I saw it. I watched it, and it was pretty funny because, like, it starts out as this guy and this girl that both are, like, virgins or whatever, and then they have sex one time, they didn't use a condom, and then she got pregnant, and it was just fun. And then at the end, she gave up her baby. Like, there's all this hard stuff, but at the end, she gave up her baby, and her life was all nice and perfect right after. Nothing was wrong anymore.
So, you, like you said, with comedy, it kind of employs on that. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering if you went to high school with or have ever known socially a child that's been homeschooled, at least to ninth grade. Mm. And if you have any observations or wild guesses, thank you.
I know one of my friends was homeschooled, but that was like third and fourth grade, not up till high school. That would be, I think that'd be a holdback on a kid being homeschooled all the way up until ninth grade, because then he would have no social life, and then he wouldn't know how to be around people.
Yeah, I see it as, it doesn't, I don't think it really affects, you know, their subjectivity to the media. You know, with being homeschooled, it seems like it just makes you, you know, just, you're at home. And, you know, the thing with schools nowadays is that there's no, there's not really any advertising at school. So when you're homeschooled, it seems like you're almost subject more to, even more so to media, depending on, you know, what kind of a home life you have. But I don't see it really affecting a whole lot. You know, the only thing with homeschooling is it just makes, you know, less subject to, you know, social. So, I mean, you know, because the media does influence society as a whole, you could say. And if you're homeschooled, then you're not necessarily out there with it. So I guess, you know, through, you know, transverse or whatever, you know, because media influences society, society influences kid. Well, if, you know, if that kid isn't out there in society, then I guess he can't really get the message that the media is, you know, trying to trickle down through him.
But then also they might be naive to it when they finally get out into the world, though, because mm-hmm. then they won't know how it's transmitted to them. Just like I've seen many commercials. Like, I thought it was funny. The funniest commercial I think I've still ever seen was a condom commercial. It was like a Trojan one where he was a sleaze, but like it showed him as a pig. But then he went to a one of the condom vending machines, got one. Then he was super cool all of a sudden to everybody. I thought that was the funniest commercial, because if somebody never saw that when they were younger and didn't understand, it was like just a funny joke, then they would take it as, oh, if I have a condom and I go up and walk up to some girl that I want to be with and just be like, hey, then they're going to get smacked up.
Yeah. I definitely tend to think as a humor as a real powerful influence for that media uses. Like, you know, the most powerful commercials aren't actually the ones that, you know, show, like, all this stuff. Oh, it does this, it does this, it's great, you know. Or, you know, whatever, you know, the product or, you know, message it is that they're trying to send. Typically, the thing that usually gets me most is, you know, if it's humorous, you know, if it's something clever or something that's well thought out, you know. Like, if it's just something that shows, oh, it does this, you know, it's like, well, you know, that's kind of obvious, you know. Like, I could have just read the directions and found that out, you know. But, you know, to find, like, the jokes, like, you know, like how we mentioned earlier with the Axe body wash commercials, you know. Like, it's just funny, you know, because, you know, they show them using these little cans and they spray them right before they walk out. And then they go into the clubs and you see all these, you know, gorgeous, beautiful women, and they're just rubbing all over them, bringing them into the shower and all that. You know? And, you know, it's funny, you know, not necessarily that I'd go out and buy Axe just because I think that would happen. But, I'd walk down the aisle and I'd see that and I'd be like, oh yeah, I remember that funny commercial. That was kind of cool. You know, it sticks in my head a lot more than just thinking, oh, it does this, it does that, you know, cause it's kind of already, you know, just known as it is. Once again, callers, the number is 456-9991.
Yeah. Also, I think it's funny too, because like, obviously, you know, if it's Axe and it's like, it's a deodorant, you know, it makes you smell better. It stops what it does, but then it also, the funny part to it's good. Caller, you're on the air.
Thank you very much for your show.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
We appreciate so much that you have such a wise perspective and that you're willing to think and look deeply at the motives behind the commercialism and so many of the messages
Definitely.
That are coming across in the media. Also, a recurrent theme you bring up about the media, the medium is the message, and mm-hmm. the message that a lot of us get is that everybody has a cell phone, everybody has a computer, and everybody has a television set, and they're a part of our family. And it might be really interesting to step back and see how is it not to have those things. And I think you're looking deeply at the motives behind the commercialism might help people to step back and say, well, yeah, I've always had this in my home, but is it really running my life and helping to influence my decisions? And how is it doing that? So thank you so much for your very intelligent coverage of this subject.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
I liked your point, actually. I never really thought of, you know, because we talked about texting already and how, you know, it's kind of a void of emotion and, you know, it's hard to communicate that type of thing. But I never really thought of it as, you know, like how she said, I guess, part of the family. You know, that's really interesting, you know, because it is actually very much advertised. You look at a lot of the cell phone commercials, you know, if it's a cell phone commercial that includes like a family or something, they always have like the family plan. Buy this, mm-hmm. you know, buy this big expensive phone, get these cheaper but still kind of cool ones for yeah. free, you know, and they always advertise.
Sorry, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I very much appreciate you guys talking about this today. I think it's very, extremely important for our youth. I'm curious as to at what point in your lives were you educated or realized on your own that not everything you see on TV or hear on the radio or read in the textbooks or even hear from your teachers are not necessarily the truth or even accurate? And when are you taught, like, critical thinking? Like, in school, does anybody ever teach you critical thinking skills? And I was wondering if, you know, when are you taught to question what you see and hear in the world? So if you could answer that, I'd very much appreciate it.
Definitely.
Okay.
When I was actually pretty young when I started to realize that a lot of things, even though you were told by something, was a lot of a lie because... I think it's a kind of funny thing, but, like, the first thing I realized was, like, the whole, I think I was, like, seven, the whole Christmas thing, oh, there's Santa Claus, blah, 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 you know, like, it's all advertisement, it's all nice and everything. I stayed up that whole night, and I did not see a person, so after that, I started questioning a lot of different things. And then you see it, and you're like, oh, Coca-Cola commercial, person looks like a cool walking around with Coca-Cola commercial, everybody's following them, you know, having a good time. I've drank Coca-Cola, nobody's just walked around and started following me.
Yeah, what is she, about young age, when I was young, you know, I watched movies, you know, all little kids will watch some kind of movie, but, my parents would always tell me, you know, it's just a movie, so, I would never really take it seriously, I guess. Caller, you're on the air?
Hi, yes, I'm really disturbed that you guys lost an opportunity to be on the air last month as a member of KZYX when they decided to turn their schedule into a bowling alley. And I think it's great that Dan Roberts has given an hour of his programming to keep you guys on the air because you guys are the future. And I really think that it would be great if KZYX would have a student rate of like $20 for students to get interested in this medium. And have outreach to the schools and have people that you all could relate to, maybe like Alibaba, come to the schools and talk to the student body. But since time is short, I really want to get to a more pressing question. Way back all the way to the Truman Show, the movie came out in 98. You all were probably about four or five maybe when that movie came out. So to you, it was probably ancient history, but to me, it's kind of the new world. And they showed everything that Truman did and without his knowledge. And then we have shows like Big Brother and various so-called reality shows where they're rather intrusive into people's personal lives and what they're doing, dating in the dark, for God's sake. Just this week we've had a tragic situation where a young man jumped off the George Washington Bridge. He was a brilliant violinist, up and coming in that field. And because his personal life was shown on the Internet, he felt compelled to jump off that bridge and end his life. So I would like to know what you all think about this whole situation of going beyond just a movie or where somebody agrees to be on a reality show and basically having friends surveil somebody who's supposed to be a friend or a roommate in the case of going to school. What do you think the situation here is as far as how this occurred, where the lines are blurred, and maybe what the punishment should be for causing this person to really, literally, go over the edge? Thanks for your show, and keep it up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, if somebody were to be that influenced by something, like if they were to watch something and somebody showed that it was so much easier just to end your life and then everything would just be over, then the thing that showed them that it'd be so much easier should have a lawsuit or something, because if you can compel somebody to really go that insane with their own mind and want to kill themselves, then you should be held liable for it.
All right, well, that's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Our hosts today have been me, Eric.
Natalie.
And Dannon.
Thanks to our callers. One of our purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are very important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett Studio. Youth Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with Safe Schools, Healthy Schools Bronco Project, Building Resiliency Opportunities for the North County. For more information about the Bronco program, please call Pat Sanborn at 459-5314 or email at him at psanborg@mcoe.us. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. Or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Our next show will be on the first Sunday of November, the 7th at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in November.